الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another special transmission on this beautiful silsila Early Echo. And today we have another topic which will help us inshallah, will aid us, will encourage us to do that which is better. What is that topic? Inshallah Azza wa Jal, you stay tuned. From beginning to end, you will get to find out. But before that, as always, remember the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So why delay? Make some good intentions today. Make it right now. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila of Madani channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, any silsila, any program that you are watching on Madani channel, make good intentions. Any Milad Sharif, Urs Sharif that you are attending, even online, make good intentions. Ibadat, good deeds, good actions. Continuously make good intentions. This is the way of the aslaf, of the mashaikh, of the Sufiya. This is the way that we are taught by Amir Ahlul Sunnah Dam Barakatuhumul Aliyah, because the reality is many of us, we forget to make good intentions, and therefore we miss out on so much of thawab and rewards from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's make the good intentions also that, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm watching the silsila to seek knowledge of deen, to practice upon it and to share it with others as well. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. What is of utmost importance as well is that I jot down the important Madani pearls of advices. I write it down. Because when the silsila, when the program is over, how much of the content of that silsila do I remember? Perhaps very little. Because our minds are, you know, crowded with so many other things. So try to write it down. As Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, capture knowledge by writing it down. And ink is the best memory. Remember that saying? Growing up we learned the saying. And it's true that, you know, you wrote it down, it's there. Or you typed it out on your phone or your tablet or your PC or your laptop. You saved it, you backed it up, it's there. You can always go back and refer to that. And you can share it with others then. Maybe in the future you bring through your files and your notes and, hey, okay, wow, I remember this on this day, this date, this program, this silsila. This was the Madani pearl, the Madani pearls that I had jotted down to refresh yourself and to encourage you to practice upon it and continuously share it with others. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. The person who recites Durood-e Paak 1,000 times every day, the narration says, he will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In these few days, we should try and increase our Durood-e Paak, increase our Qur'an-e Paak, our dhikrullah, our istighfar, and seeking knowledge of deen. And which better way than getting back in touch with the books, reading the books and watching Madani channel. Subhanallah. Before we go any further into our topic, and our topic will be centered around handling difficulties. Handling difficulties, inshallah. We request our PCR, our team, to please enlighten us with a beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
کرم ہے خدا کا خدا کی عطا ہے میرے ہاتھ میں دامن مصطفیٰ ہے کرم حاجیوں تم پہ کیسا ہوا ہے کرم حاجیوں تم پہ کیسا ہوا ہے تمہیں مجدائے مغفرت مل گیا ہے شرف تم کو حج کا ملا ہے مبارک شرف تم کو حج کا ملا ہے نظارہ مدینے کا تم نے کیا ہے سے بھری جھولیاں ہیں خدا کے کرم سے بھری جھولیاں ہیں نبی کی عنایت سے دامن بھرا ہے میں پھر حج کروں اور مدینہ بھی دیکھوں میرے دل میں یہ آرزو یا خدا ہے خدا ہر مسلمان کو حج و زیارت کا دے دے شرف عاجزانہ دعا ہے سے اعمال نامہ شفاعت کی عرض شفیع الورا ہے. گناہ گار ہوں میں, سیاہ کار ہوں میں, خدا مغفرت کر میری التجا ہے. شرف پایا تار ہر سال حج کا, شرف پایا تار ہر سال حج کا, خدا محمد یہ تجھ سے دعا ہے.
خدا کا خدا کی عطا ہے, میرے ہاتھ میں دامن مصطفیٰ ہے.
کرم ہے خدا کا خدا کی عطا ہے, میرے ہاتھ میں دامن مصطفیٰ ہے.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. What a beautiful kalam. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you tell me something? Do you know of any person that has no difficulties in their life? No musibate, no mushkilat, no calamities. Do you know any person? I don't. Now we come to a realization that, you know, each person, maybe you look at a person and the person is always smiling and it seems like everything is perfect. It seems like that. But if you were to live in that person's world, if you were to walk in that person's shoes, and if we were to look at how things are happening, their circumstances from their point of view, from their angle, we may get a completely different picture. That it's not a picture of perfection, it's just that the person is doing their best to overcome maybe their depression, maybe their sickness, maybe their financial difficulties, maybe their spiritual problems, maybe their domestic disputes, some other issue that they may be experiencing. Because each person has whether some minor difficulty or major difficulty. Because we're living in such a world currently that our society is affected by maybe there's sickness, maybe there's a virus, maybe there's a disease, maybe there are criminal activities that causes major losses to individuals in that society. People are suffering from, you know, sicknesses, and some of them, they try different medications, they go to herbalists, but doesn't resolve their matter. Allahu Akbar. How many people you know are jobless, unemployed, giving their CVs, resumes, here, there, emailing it everywhere. And they are still sitting at home thinking, what must I do? Becoming depressed, getting stressed out. Maybe they have a family to feed. How many people do you know that have these kind of problems, these kind of issues in their life? Some are in a situation of poverty. Some are sleeping on the streets. You know, our scholars, they say, and this is one of the principles we should live our life by, that when it comes to dunyawi matters, worldly matters, worldly affairs, don't look at those who are higher than you, that are above you, and have a higher standing in society than yourself. You will never be satisfied, because you'll keep chasing the dunya, and the dunya will continue to get further and further away until we fall down into the darkness of the grave. So look at those who are below you. Now, since we are talking about difficulties and handling difficulties, handling calamities, because the world is full of it, we look around and so many of us have it much more easier and simpler than other people out there. If I have meals for the day, I have access to pure drinking water. Do you know how many people, they don't have this? They have to make alternate arrangements, maybe buy, live on bottled water, maybe put a filtration system, maybe go to the river, those are in the villages, and then boil the water, and then let it cool, and then have a bath, and make it drinkable. So if I have access to water that I open from the tap, I can fill my cup and drink, I'm blessed. Have I showed shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal just for that one thing? If I have my breakfast, lunch and supper, do you know how many people are going to sleep hungry? You have a roof over your head. You have a lovely bed that you can sleep. People are sleeping in the streets. People are digging in the bins, literally. Some are digging in the bins just to find something in order to eat. So, think about the people who are below us. It will give us some contentment. Ya Allah, you have blessed me. Compared to so many others, you have given me a lot. I'm able to see with these eyes. I'm able to hear with these ears. I'm able to use my tongue and talk. I'm able to use my mind. My limbs are safe and sound. I'm not confined to a wheelchair. We have a lot. But we don't show thanks enough. Some don't show thanks at all. We just take it for granted. Oh, okay, this is how it is. And no, I want. See the wants and the desires versus the needs and necessities. Just differentiate. You have the roof over your head. You have those meals. You have that water. What else? Now it's desires. Okay, you know what? No, I need to have this kind of a house with these porcelain tiles. And you know, I need to have this and that and a pool and what have you. The extras. And if we don't get it, some people get depressed. Some people, they feel, you know, why? Why am I not getting it? Why is that person getting it? And they try to compete with the Joneses. It's an endless circle until... But the circle will end with al-maut, with death. I need to put things into perspective. That all of these things around me, all the negatives in my life, I'm talking to you as an individual. And the message is for myself first. That the negativities that are surrounding my life, be it unemployment, be it domestic disputes, whether it's the loans that I have, the debts, the burden of debts, the crimes that are around me, sickness, the evils that I commit. You know, this is part and parcel of how things are in today's time, today's day and age. So instead of complaining and falling into the darkness of disappointment and the darkness of depression, do good deeds. Perform good deeds with ikhlas, with sincerity, for Allah Azza wa Jal, not to get something. Just make your dua. Because look, who is our prime example? Who is our number one example? Who? None other than the beloved of Allah, the chosen one, the merciful master, the owner of Jannah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is our role model. There's no person better. We know that. I know that and you know that. So, am I reverting to him when I face difficulties in my life? When we see other people out there, when they are depressed, when things are going against them, when the difficulties are piling up, they turn to the bottle and they try to drown their difficulties in drunkenness. That only makes things much more worse for them. Because in that state of intoxication and drunkenness, they end up committing other things, which open up doors to other problems. Or they end up sliding into the decay of drugs. You think that's going to help you? You may feel, or the person who indulges in these vices, these evils, may feel that, you know, I get a temporary kind of pleasure and my mind is diverted away from these problems of my life. A real person cannot opt and choose those backward and decadent options. Maybe the weak ones, the weak people, their mind will go towards alcohol, towards drugs, towards just wasting their time in frivolous and useless activities. And after everything they do, the problem is still there, sometimes even worse. So real people, true believers, what do? They revert to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And how did he sallallahu alayhi wasallam handle difficulties? Because his sallallahu alayhi wasallam's difficulties, we can't compare our little difficulties to his. And I will know this if I study his seerah, if I study his blessed lifestyle, I will come to realize, Allahu Akbar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, they went through trials, some tribulations, difficulties. They didn't have it just easy like how so many of us, we're just going through life without any concern. They had challenges in their life, but they were always positive because they knew we have tawakkul and yaqeen and trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the solver of problems. He is the creator of opportunities. He is the one that we turn to. So we should do the same. Allah Azza wa Jal has sent the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example for you and I, as uswatun hasana, the perfect example. So by following the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that leads to obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. As the Quran mentions that whoever has obeyed the Rasul, so indeed he has obeyed Allah Azza wa Jal. مَنْ يُتِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. So what is my response, what is my reply to difficulties that I am facing right now in my life, or I may face in the future as well? Well, how do I reply? I turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do when there were challenges, when there were difficulties, when there was the boycott. Do you remember that? If I don't know about the boycott, how come? Why don't I know? Have I not studied Islamic history to see what they went through? Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was inflicted upon him? Gross insult. What was inflicted? The boycott was inflicted. There was physical oppression. It was emotional, mental, psychological. They tried everything to try and break Islam. But only Islam is acceptable to Allah Azza. Only the Quran is protected by Allah Azza wa Jal. He revealed it, He is protecting it. So, you know, that's our number one solution. Turn to Allah Azza wa Jal in dua. And turn to the blessed life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to learn that how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he handle difficulties? What was his response? And you'll see only and only positivity. And you will see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would turn to Allah azza wa jalla in dua. When his trust was unshakable is trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now difficulties, our scholars, they mention, difficulties can be tests from Allah Azza wa Jal. They can be a form of punishment for the sins that we have committed. Or it can be a form of raising one's status in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. One way of dispelling and removing difficulties is to give sadaqah, to give charity for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Of course, it has to be from halal earnings. And I must give it with a pure heart, with a sincere intention to make my Allah Azza wa Jal happy. Say, Ya Allah, accept this little donation, it's charity in your path. Whether you give it to the masjid, the madrasa, the jami'ah, but remember your Dawud-e-Islam. When Dawud-e-Islam is running, many madaris, many jami'at, many masajid, many activities, social welfare, and a host of different departments. So give your charities, give your sadaqat, your fitrah, your fidya, give it to your Dawud-e-Islam. Because it will be channeled to the correct avenues. And come and have a look at our work. If there's a local Madani Markaz Islamic Center of Dawud Islami in your area, so sadaqah. Nobody's telling you to give a whole stack of notes as sadaqah. What is your financial capacity? That's what you give. Give it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sadaqatu raddul bala. The charity diverts calamity. If there's an accident heading your way, if there's a carjacking or a hijacking or a kidnapping or a disease or some musibah, some bala which is heading towards you, and you gave that sadaqah, which was from halal earnings, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, with sincerity, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will divert that calamity. So here is one proven way, from the truthful lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we have something called disaster management. When a disaster is there, then there is a committee which has plans in place to handle it, to deal with it, and to resolve whatever matters are there. We need to learn or relearn calamity management or difficulties management. How do I manage my difficulties? How do I manage the negativities that are surrounding me? How do I overcome this depression? Because depression is one of those things which are so prevalent. You may know people that are suffering from this. Some are suffering from acute depression. And you know, the worst case scenarios where people are having suicidal thoughts. Muslims I'm talking about. How do we reach to this level? If I'm looking at others above me, as I mentioned earlier, worldly things, look at those who are below, who are deprived compared to us. But if I'm looking at the people on the top, you know, hey, this guy's got a beachfront apartment, and he's got a beautiful bungalow, a beautiful mansion, two of them, and he's got so many cars, and so the desires start taking effect in the heart, in the mind, that I need to, that's the life. That is where happiness lies. And you know what happens when the person does not achieve and attain that? In most cases, depression, anxiety attacks, worry. always trying to plot and plan. How do I make money? How do I gain wealth? How do I reach to this standing in society? And a person may end up doing evil things, maybe selling drugs or gambling or robbing people just to reach a certain position in society. Where's the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla? That I'm going to be accountable for every cent, for every letter, for every deed. I'm accountable for it. Have I forgotten? The angels are writing down my good deeds, my bad deeds. Even that which I consider as insignificant, it's written down, and I'm going to be accountable on the day of judgment. Have I forgotten this? And yes, it's easy to forget when you are caught up in the rat race of the dunya. When you have surrounded yourself with people who are only greedy for gains, greedy to become more and more wealthy, to gain more and more of the dunya. If I have surrounded myself with this group of individuals, I'm going to end up thinking like that. That hirs, that greed, which will never be satiated. A person will never be satisfied. But if I have surrounded myself with individuals that continuously remind me of my purpose in this world, which is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, which is to prepare for the qabr and the akhirah. If I'm surrounded by people that continuously remind me of my duties to fulfill huququllah, huququl ibad, to fulfill the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, to fulfill the rights of the people about Quran, about Sunnah, then it's hard for those kind of thoughts to put one down. I have to achieve a short-term goal, a medium, my long-term goal. When we set our goals, what do we normally put? Short-term goal, I need to achieve so much of wealth. Medium-term, so much. Long-term, so much. Okay, work towards it with the intention that, Ya Allah, bless me with beneficial, halal wealth so I can uplift the deen. But in those goals, have I also included that, you know what, by this stage, I need to have read these Islamic books. I need to have started these Islamic practices. Let's include those as well. And this is one of the beauties of Dawat Islam. That the environment, the madani mahol, the Islamic ethos and the Islamic atmosphere, if you are in it, you know it already. You know how it is. If you are not, jump in. Enter into this environment after so many years later, and then a person may think, hey, I should have, I would have, I could have done this 5 years ago. How my life would have been now? What have you got to lose besides the sinful culture that's out there, the filthy, backward, sinful culture that is out there? Cut your losses, cut it out. It's just holding you down from progress, real progress, which is preparation for the hereafter, preparation for the grave, pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, pleasing the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what truly matters. And when am I going to remove the blinkers and come to that realization? When? When it's too late? The time is now. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So difficulties are always there. It's how we deal with them, how we handle them. Do we turn towards Allah Azza wa Jalla in making dua? Do we give our sadaqat regularly? Do we turn to the blessed life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he would deal with difficulties or difficult individuals? Look at the honorable Sahaba Ikram, the honorable Ahlul Bayt, on the plains of Karbala. Yeah, you heard the story many a times. Have I taken a lesson from there? Do you think they were not going through great difficulties? Where the water was cut off and baby Ali Asghar radiallahu anhu is thirsty because of no water at all, little infant, and the women folk of the Honorable Ahlul Bayt are thirsty, everybody is thirsty because they are not given water, and there is thousands of enemies on the other side. You think they were not, but they didn't give up, they had the difficulties worse than you and I. Greater, we cannot compare, it's impossible. They didn't give up. Sayyidu Shuhada, Sayyiduna Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he didn't give up. His trust was in Allah subhanahu. And this is why every year, Ashura time, we are remembering the participants at Karbala, the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt. We are remembering the glorious Shuhada, glorious martyrs of Karbala. But they had great difficulties. All the prophets, the Sahaba Ikram, what great difficulties they had. What they endured, what torments, what oppression they endured. And how many became martyrs? Let's look at their lifestyle. Let's derive lessons from that. The awliya Allah, the pious people, they went through difficulties. When you read about their seerah, their biographies, you learn these lessons and then you try to apply it, and it helps. It helps. Another great tool in handling difficulties is sabr, patience. And I will share a few Madani pearls regarding this to motivate us that when the difficulty strikes, what's the benefit in having patience? We'll cover more of that in a short while. Our lovely team, can you please go ahead and play the package? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It's very, very important, imperative, to teach our children basic knowledge of Islam and the religion. And this will stand them in good stead throughout their life. Now, if you look at priorities today, unfortunately, people, they spend a lot of time ensuring that their child becomes a professional, a doctor maybe, or a different profession. And they exert a lot of energy, they pay for tuition fees, they take that child wherever he needs to go to ensure that he's in pole position to get a job in his field. That person has mastered a science like maths, for example. Complex issues are discussed in science or in medicine, or to become a doctor, we know it's not easy. He's mastered all of this. But that very same person who is respectfully called doctor, Dr. Sahib, lawyer, solicitor, when it comes to performing wudu, he doesn't know the basics. Now ask yourself this question. On the Day of Judgment, his credentials as a doctor or a barrister or a lawyer or a solicitor won't come to help him. But if he did not learn the basic knowledge of Islam, if he did not learn how to perform wudu, which is the key to salah, and he did not know about the requirements of salah, the obligations of salah, the wajibat in salah, etc., he'll be in trouble. Now, the wise person is he who lives in the world, he learns the basics of the religion, and more if possible, and he is free to also pursue other things which are jais in Sharia, become professional, become a doctor, for example. But we should not give priority to worldly knowledge and qualifications at the expense of dini knowledge. Otherwise, this will come back to haunt us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to to invest time in learning sacred knowledge and the basic knowledge of Islam at least.
MashaAllah, the sweet and short package. These are there also to educate us, to motivate us, and to encourage us. I was mentioning earlier regarding patience, sabr, and this is a powerful tool that one can apply in order to reply to calamities, to difficulties. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jalla. Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the real patience is at the first stroke of a calamity. When a calamity descends upon us, what is my initial reaction? How do I respond? What is my immediate response? Oh, what happened now? And I just sink into a depressional mode or a state of negativity, and I keep silent, and only negativity floods my thoughts. So as the beautiful hadith says, the real patience is at the first stroke of a calamity. That is true patience. That you got the call. That so and so that maybe was close to you has passed away. So and so met in an accident. So and so is positive with this disease or needs to go for an operation. Whatever be the case, what is my first response? Do I turn to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is one thing I need to train myself, train my brain, and that is istirja, meaning to recite Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That indeed we belong to Allah and indeed we will return to Allah. And that's the reality. I'm going to return to Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal owns me, owns my life, owns my everything. I am just like a manager or a supervisor looking after what has been entrusted to me, or whatever wealth, whatever money, whatever possessions, whatever materialism I possess, I'm just looking after, like a supervisor. Whatever cars, apartments, lodges I have, I'm the manager only. Allah Azza wa Jal is the owner. And very soon, this position of mine that I have as a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal, a slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is going to come to an end. The contract is going to expire. That expiry date is when the angel of death comes for you and I. My contract in this world is done. I don't own those things anymore. The many cars and apartments, if I'm lucky, it will be distributed according to Shari'i laws to the heirs, to those, the inheritors. Otherwise, like you see more and more often nowadays, how the families are at each other's throats. No, I want this, and I want this, and I want everything. And how some eat up the shares of others. Yeah. Wait for the punishment. Those who do this, repent immediately. Those whose shares, those whose inheritance you have eaten up, you will have to return every cent of that. And then repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask that person for forgiveness. Return everything. Ask for forgiveness and ask Allah for forgiveness. If not, You can smile all you want today. You can enjoy all you want today. You can evade. Wait for it. Wait for it. And your eyes close permanently from this dunya. Who's going to come to your rescue? Who's going to care about you? How are you going to be remembered? Yeah, he ate my share. Yeah, that's what he did. That's what the person, kind of person he was. He said, how you want to be remembered in society? And in the meantime, you are there in barzakh, getting the punishment after punishment and screaming and screaming and non-stop screaming. For those who continue on that path, beware. Fear Allah. Change yourself. Repent. Return. Return what you have taken from others. Return the usurped properties before it's too late. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So istirja' to say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un is a very good way of conditioning our minds. This is something psychological as well. That I don't utter negatives. I look at the reality of things. That person passed away. That person belonged to Allah. That person is returning to Allah. This thing I lost, maybe it got destroyed. It didn't really belong to me. I was just a caretaker. That's it. Allah, as the Quran mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 156. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. Those who say, when calamity befalls them, indeed, we belong to Allah. And indeed, it is to Him we are to return. That's the reality. We don't only say this when somebody passes away. Oh, when the lights go out, what do we say? Oh, what happened now? Say another load shedding or something? No. Lights go out, then you say this as well. There's some calamity. Maybe you receive some news of some problem that has happened, some sickness or accident or something. Respond with this. And then do what you can to help resolve the difficulty. Not just sink into sadness. Who's that going to help? Not going to help anybody. Just be practical about it. Let's work together as a team. The family must work together as a team. The society must work together as a team to put out all those fires of negativity, the fires of drugs, clubs and pubs and gambling and immorality and decadence and immodesty. And all these negatives, these difficulties that have surrounded our societies. So families as a unit, as a team, societies and communities as a whole, as a team, everybody works together, you will see positivity in the community. You will see that difficulties become less. Inshallah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah. So sabr. Sabr is a great way of dealing with difficulties. And I tell you, you may know it better than me. A sabr, patience, is an entire episode on itself. I want to share one narration with you. Mentioned in Sharh al-Sudur, the famous, by the great Mujaddid of his time, Sayyidina Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala. He says on page 146, that when the deceased person, the mayyit, is facing the qabr, then his salah appears on the right side, his sawm, his fasting on the left, his Quranic recitation and his dhikr appear at the head side. His walking towards salah appears by the foot side. His patience appears in one corner of the qabr. Then when Allah Azza wa Jal sends down azab and punishment, the salah says to it, step back. He endured difficulties all his life and now he is resting comfortably. The azab approaches from the left side. The siyam, the fasting, gives the same response. It approaches from the head side, it will get the same response. And so the azab will not be able to approach this person from any direction. No matter which direction it tries to approach, it will find the beloved friend of Allah protected. Finding him protected, the azab will then leave. At that time, sabr, the sabr that the person had in the dunya, patience, will say to all the other good deeds, the only reason I remained silent is so that if all of you were not successful, then I would have spoken. But now I will be of assistance for this person on the sirat, on the bridge, and at the mizan, the scale. Sabr. To patiently persevere, to continue to move forward, despite the difficulties, not to sink down and stay in one position. I can't move forward if I'm standing in one spot, if I'm sitting in one spot. I can move forward if I'm moving. Even if you continue first with baby steps, and then as you progress, increase your steps. So you start walking briskly, and then fast, and then running. So keep moving forward. Keep moving forward in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Allah, the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a high status is destined for a person in the knowledge of Allah, but he cannot reach there with his good deeds, then Allah Azza wa Jal makes that person suffer financial difficulties, physical problems, or through their children, and then blesses that person with patience over the difficulty, and makes that person reach that high status which was predestined for him in the divine knowledge of Allah. So these are some ways we should try and handle our difficulties. Don't forget, watch Madani Muzakara and learn from Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah. Get connected, stay connected to your Dawat-e-Islami and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Start your day with remembrance of us.